Your heart races, thoughts spiral, that familiar knot tightens in your chest, whispering that something is terribly wrong, even when everything looks fine on the surface. With 260 million people worldwide carrying this diagnosis, and countless others suffering in silence, anxiety has become our generation's defining struggle. But here's the radical reframe that changes everything. What if anxiety isn't a malfunction to be fixed, but a messenger carrying vital information about who you're meant to become? This isn't about positive thinking or simply managing symptoms. It's about fundamentally shifting your relationship with anxiety, from viewing it as an enemy to recognizing it as an invitation. Like a smoke alarm that won't stop beeping, anxiety demands attention, not because you're broken, but because some essential part of you needs to be heard. The panic, the intrusive thoughts, the physical symptoms, they're sophisticated distress signals from aspects of yourself that have been pushed aside, ignored, or silenced by a culture that values conformity over authenticity. Anxiety manifests through three interconnected channels. First are intrusive thoughts, those relentless what-ifs that hijack your mind. What if I'm with the wrong partner? What if I fail? These aren't random worries, but specific questions pointing toward unexamined fears. Second is the physical response: chest tightness, racing heart, digestive chaos, insomnia. Your body enters perpetual fight or flight mode, as if facing a tiger while sitting at your desk. Third comes compulsive behavior: seeking constant reassurance, paralyzing perfectionism, obsessive research, endless checking. The conventional approach treats these separately: medication for the body, cognitive techniques for thoughts, behavioral modifications for actions. It's exhausting whack-a-mole. Conquer panic attacks and obsessive thoughts emerge. Control over thinking and insomnia appears. The transformative approach recognizes that anxiety contains wisdom. Four internal allies guide this journey: curiosity, approaching anxiety with genuine interest; compassion, replacing self-judgment with kindness; stillness, creating space to hear your inner wisdom; and gratitude, orienting toward appreciation amid discomfort. Imagine meeting your next anxiety spiral not with dread, but with the question, "What is this trying to tell me?" That simple shift, from enemy to teacher, transforms everything. Anxiety's foundation is the erosion of self-trust, our internal compass damaged by two toxic cultural messages. The first is the tyranny of normal. From birth, we're measured against narrow standards. Good children learn to suppress authenticity, moderating enthusiasm, hiding interests, shape-shifting to meet expectations. They master reading rooms and adjusting accordingly, siphoning off weird traits for acceptability. The cost? A lifetime of second-guessing every impulse. The second is the mandate for happiness and denial of shadow. American culture worships smiles while treating darkness as failure. We're sold a rigid formula: excel in school, maintain many friendships, follow prescribed timelines for college, career, marriage, children. Deviation triggers anxiety because we've internalized that our unique path is wrong. If we taught young people to orient toward meaning rather than happiness, much anxiety would dissolve. True emotional health embraces the full spectrum, including uncomfortable parts we're trained to avoid. We need wholeness, not happiness. Permission to be fully, messily human. Transitions crack open our being, releasing current and buried pain through three phases: letting go, dwelling in discomfort, and embracing rebirth. Our culture celebrates external markers, weddings, farewells, while bypassing crucial emotional work, undermining graceful adjustment. Even subtle transitions trigger unnamed anxiety. Sunday evenings, early mornings, seasonal shifts, these liminal moments when defenses soften flood us with worry. Autumn stirs survival fears as abundance yields to darkness. Sunday anxiety afflicts those carrying school or work trauma. Morning anxiety strikes when existential questions surface unbidden. Nature offers profound wisdom. Autumn teaches release as leaves fall, creating space for renewal. Winter demands stillness. What we label depression might be the soul's call to sit with emptiness. Spring surges with rebirth energy, asking, what wants to be born? Summer invites delight through simple pleasures, bare feet in grass, floating in water, watching fireflies. When we align with seasonal energies, we harness nature's power to soothe anxiety's restlessness. We're part of larger cycles, activity and rest, growth and release, expansion and contraction. Honoring these rhythms reconnects us to our natural healing capacity. Anxiety isn't a feeling. It's a placeholder for vulnerable emotions we're avoiding. When anxiety grips you, ask what it's protecting you from feeling. The equation is simple. Feeling your feelings leads to acceptance and flow. Avoiding them leads to control and being stuck. Unprocessed grief transforms into anxiety. When we suppress sadness, it mutates into health anxiety, catastrophic thinking, relationship obsessions. Like a neglected child demanding attention, grief makes itself known, just not in its original form. Our culture teaches us to shut down difficult emotions, but when we stay in the flow of feelings, the heart remains open and anxiety edges to the outer rims. In relationships, anxiety emerges most intensely because intimacy makes us vulnerable to loss. Those endless relationship questions are elaborate defenses against one painful truth. Committing our hearts means risking devastating loss. For sensitive, analytical people, experiencing relationship anxiety without red flags is predictable, not pathological. The cultural message that doubt means don't is particularly damaging. For thoughtful people, doubt is inevitable, simply another face of fear. Working with anxiety means hearing fear's warnings without heeding its advice to run. Fear and love aren't opposites, they're deeply intertwined. When we love deeply, fear naturally appears to protect our vulnerable hearts. Rather than battling fear, we must befriend it, acknowledging that doubt, disconnection, and irritation are normal parts of love. When anxiety heals, it leaves emptiness. A void our busyness-worshipping culture fears. But this emptiness is the essential liminal zone between letting go and rebirth, the container where wisdom emerges. From emptiness comes the final stage, bringing healing into the world. This doesn't require grand gestures. It might mean showing more compassion to your children, treating the earth with kindness, or pursuing that lifelong dream. Your inner healing naturally ripples outward, breaking intergenerational patterns and serving others. The critical distinction? You may have broken parts needing attention, but nothing is fundamentally wrong with you. Your wholeness dwells beneath the walls and wounds of your defenses. Healing involves gently softening these walls until they reveal the untouched garden of your true self. This is anxiety's deepest wisdom, the call to turn inward to fill your well, then outward to serve a world desperately needing your authentic presence. In a culture that pathologizes sensitivity and medicates discomfort, anxiety invites you to reclaim your full humanity. Your racing thoughts aren't evidence of brokenness, they're proof of your imaginative mind. Your physical symptoms aren't random malfunctions, they're your body's wisdom demanding attention. Your fears aren't obstacles to overcome, they're doorways to the most meaningful parts of yourself. The question isn't whether you'll experience anxiety. In this culture, you likely will. The question is whether you'll meet it as enemy or teacher, whether you'll silence it or listen deeply. Your anxiety is calling you home to yourself. Will you answer?